Hey, beautiful souls, are you a student on the cusp of your counseling journey, or maybe even a seasoned professional working for somebody else but dreaming of launching your very own private practice? If so, I would love for you to join my incredible coaching membership today. It's tailor-made for therapists just like you, offering step-by-step support 24/7 because you know what, we're in this together. Plus, I've even got courses and CPD trainings included to help fuel your growth. I know, I love it so much and I hope you do too. Discover the path to your dream private practice your way. Dive into the supportive community and get some quick guidance, accountability, and real connections. It's your business and I've got your back. So join me now and make your dreams a reality. Head over to my website today. The link is in the show notes and the membership is called Private Practice 101. I'll see you there. Bye. Hi everyone and welcome to the Private Practice with Soul podcast. This is the first podcast for counselors that just don't align with the traditional approaches to business and that want to use their spiritual gifts, talents and interests to create, you guessed it, a private practice with soul. So look, leave it to me to provide you with everything you need, including strategies that you can use to increase your income, reduce your workload and of course increase inquiries and referrals to your beautiful soul-led private practice. I love it so much. If you haven't done it already, grab your journal, grab your pen, and let's begin. Welcome to another episode of the Private Practice with Soul podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Brooklyn Storm. And if you're tuning in for the first time, welcome, because you have landed on an episode that is going to be gold, hopefully. Well, I always hope my episodes are gold, but hopefully this one is today because I want to talk with you about launching. The reason that I want to talk with you about launching is because it's something I've just completed. I've just finished a launch, but also because there were so many people in that launch that were talking to me about how they want to go and create digital products or and sell them. Or there were people who had already made digital products like online courses and they weren't selling and they wanted to be able to sell them. So I thought, I'm just going to be transparent, cards on the table, and just tell you exactly what happened with mine, the good, the bad, and everything in between. All right. So let's begin at the beginning. Okay, so about 2 years, it could be a little bit longer than that, I'd have to check, but in my head it's 2 years. In my head, where else is it going to be? Don't know why I said that. It's about 2 years or so since I opened Private Practice 101. And I love Private Practice 101 so much. But in terms of calling in new members, I hadn't really been doing much with it because I was using an always open model, right? So an always open model just means that people can come in and leave whenever it suits them, whenever it's going to work for them. Okay, so there was that. And when I started Private Practice 101, I opened it with a launch. So the launch was a boot camp. Some of you may have come along to that. And it was successful. I got lots of people into the group. However, it left like this really bad taste in my mouth because it was so much work. I was learning on the fly and it was just a lot of work. It was exhausting. I mean, in saying that, this current launch that I just finished, it closed at midnight on Monday. So I stayed up till midnight on Monday. And then what did I do? I can't even remember what I did, but yesterday I was so tired. I had a client and I needed to reschedule him because there was no way I was going to be able to give him any value. And, I would never forgive myself if I showed up for an appointment and wasn't 100%. So I just explained myself and we've rescheduled. I do have a client this morning in about an hour and I'm feeling a bit better today, but I don't have any more clients for the rest of the week. Today's Wednesday. So I'm just going to be like, it's going to be like a self-care rest of the week type thing where I'm just calling back energy and doing things that feel really, really good for me because launches are exhausting for me. Anywho, So I've been using this always open model. So what happened was I got a big influx of people at the beginning. I was charging $7 for this program, which it is worth so much more than $7. But I sold it for $7 because at the time I was learning all about the value of a low ticket offer and how you can, you know, create monthly recurring revenue. So that was the beginning really of my monthly recurring revenue journey. And yeah, so because it was just always open, I just never bothered, you know, relaunching it because I didn't understand why would you, you know. So I just kind of left it there. And from time to time, I'd let people know, hey, you know, I've got Private Practice 101. So it was kind of, that was it. So what happened? What changed? Well, a few weeks ago, I was talking to a girlfriend and we're both looking at how things have been changing in private practice. And also speaking to people that I work with and in my communities, I knew that, you know, people were struggling with ebb and flow and with struggling to be able to project cash flow and all those kinds of things. And so it got me reflecting on, well, how's my own business going? Because do you know what? You know, you hear that adage, don't you, about how a mechanic's car is never running and how the carpenter's house is always in a state of disrepair because it's been like renovated, but it's never finished. But like they finish everybody else's houses and they're beautiful. Well, I think it's the same. Like when you're a private practice coach, you spend so much of your time and your energy making sure all your clients' businesses are, you know, beautiful and bright and shiny. But sometimes you just neglect your own and you think, you know, you deprioritize your own because you're more focused on your clients getting results. So I thought, okay, this is an opportunity for me here to sit down, have a look at mine. And then I was looking at what can I keep, because I was thinking, I've got so much stuff. Maybe it's just too much. So I was thinking, what can I keep? What can I lose? What can I just make temporarily unavailable? All those kinds of things to simplify the process of working with me. And from there, I also started thinking, hey, it's been a while since I've, you know, done anything with Private Practice 101 in terms of promoting it and marketing it and getting members into it. So I knew that there was another model for memberships, and that was called Doors Open, Doors Closed. And the reason that I'd been reticent to use that model was because of, well, fear. I was really afraid that, you know, if I only opened it once or twice a year, no one would come. People would just not be aware that I was opening the doors or closing the doors and they'd miss it. I was worried that, you know, I had something really good here that people wouldn't be able to access if they missed the open. So I didn't want that to happen. And I was worried about what it was going to do, you know, with my energy, because I remembered like it was really horrible that launch idea for Private Practice 101. The experience of the people was very positive. Everyone who joined, like it was testimonials galore, you know, lovely messages, lovely comments. People really enjoyed it. But for me actually setting it up, it was hellish and I never want to do that again. So yeah. Anyway, what got me over the line was I started really knuckling down and I thought, okay, you got to put your business head on now, you know, you put your big girl pants on, you can't sit here in fear forever. So I started looking more closely at, you know, doors open, doors closed models and saw case studies and I thought, okay, do you know what? I don't have anything to lose actually. If it doesn't work out, I'll just go back to always open. So I thought, yeah, I'm going to do it. So I did it. And I thought I was just going to do it by a lazy launch because I'm all about, you know, your practice gets to be easy. So I thought the easiest way for me to do this would be a very, very lazy launch. I'm just going to send an email out, change the banner in my free groups, let people know that, you know, I'm going to run a free webinar or workshop. And I was just going to do it last Monday night for an hour at like 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. answer a few questions and then let people know that Private Practice 101 was available. But the other part of me kicked in and said, well, do you know what? You can do that sort of lazy launch, but you know the success that you had the first time you did a air quotes proper launch. So maybe if you are putting on your big girl pants and you want to be serious about this and use your business mindset, you're just going to have to knuckle down and do this launch properly. So I did. And it meant though that I was doing a lot of it at the last minute, which I do not recommend. I mean, I'm very, 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 very efficient. I think many of you would say that. So many people say, how do you do so much stuff? I'm just very efficient, right? I've got shortcuts left, right, and center. I've got templates galore. But I also am very good at cultivating flow on demand. So I can stand here in front of the computer. I could do it and have done it from 8 till 8 and not had a break, not gone to the bathroom, not done anything, and just smashed out a whole lot of stuff because I'm in flow. But anyway, I don't recommend that, but I'm just saying that's me, right? I get a lot done. And so I knew then, okay, well, now I'm doing a serious launch, proper launch. I'm going to have to get all these things together. So that meant like actually planning things out, creating graphics in Canva, collecting and collating and putting together resources. But also a lot of thought had to go into it because I really believe in over-delivering, and I really believe if people are going to value what you put out there, because this is the other thing. My perception is that when you give away stuff free, people don't value it. I'm sure there are probably 5% of people, but 95% of people don't value it. I'm one of the guilty ones. Don't worry. Like I will always download the free PDF off Instagram and never open it and don't even remember what email address I put in to get it. So that's what I mean. But if I had paid $27 for it, you bet your bottom dollar I'm going to go and open that email and I'm going to send them an email to say, hey, where's my email if I can't find it. But anyway, I knew that if it was going to be high value, I needed to actually give things that were going to be worthwhile and high value. So then I had to sit down and I had to think, okay, when I was going to start my private practice, what were the things I could have really benefited from, but that I didn't have available at the time. So I went back to that kind of thinking, and I just wanted to pull together things that were going to be really useful. So I wanted people to be able to save these to their Google Drive and their Dropbox and, you know, print them off and use them maybe not now, but in 3 months' time when they're at the point where they could use it and stuff like that. Like I wanted this to be like a collection of high value resources. Plus I wanted to be available to answer questions, do all that kind of stuff. So it was a lot of work. I scheduled a lot of posts to go out because there was just so much happening. Plus I was running the business while all this was going on. That's a tip. Maybe when you do your launch, you know, block out sessions in the diary and block out other commitments in the diary for that week or maybe those 2 weeks so that you can, you know, maintain your own sanity. So there was a lot of background stuff going on there. So I ended up making 16 resources, from really involved, complex workbooks to really high value checklists to website planners, because, you know, one of the things that I did when I first started was, you know, I made a website, but I had no idea what I was doing and I was learning on the go. It was all very much an intuitive process. I was like, oh, well, I'll put the logo there and I'll put this on the about page and, you know, I'll put that on my services page, but I literally had no idea what I was doing. And now that I'm doing website audits for people, I can see they're having the same mistake that I was. And actually, I ran a poll and not one single person had actually planned out their website. So what this means now is that when I'm doing the website audits for people, we're having to go back and delete pages and delete chunks of text and, you know, things here, there and everywhere, because they should never have been there in the first place, and they're not helping. You know, your website's got to work for you. It's got to be bringing in inquiries and traffic and growing your audience and getting your bookings. If it's not doing those things, book an assessment with me and I'll help you get it sorted out, because it's really, really, really important. So I knew that, so I gave them like this really, I was going to say full on, but it's not full on, comprehensive is what I want to say, planner for their websites. So I know exactly what they're going to put, where they're going to put it, how they're going to put it, all those kinds of things. So yeah, just giving you some examples. And then what I did was I showed up every single day and I did lives. So these lives were initially going to be training. So I did one on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday last week. Gosh, it feels like a year ago, I swear. And I did them all at different time points. So I did one at 7 p.m., one at 12 noon, and then one at 9 a.m. because I knew there were people coming from all other countries. And I wanted to make sure that everybody had a chance to at least attend one. So that was the approach there. And do you know what? When I did them, the idea was I was going to do some training and it was just going to go for 1 hour. But what ended up happening was we sort of diverted away from the training and it became more of a Q&A. And, you know, I was there for like 2 hours most days answering questions every single day. And I loved doing it. I really, really did. But when I switched off the Zoom, or, well, I don't use Zoom, I use Google Meets. But when I switched that off, I was like, oof, you know, I need to go and have a little lie down because it was so, you know, it's a rush of energy, isn't it? And then it's like, whew, all that energy just kind of goes, whew, and it goes out of you. So it was a lot. And then that was on the Wednesday. And then, you know, Thursday, I left the group alone. Friday, I think I said to them, would you like me to record a training, a bonus training? They were like, yes, I would. I don't know why I did that to myself, but I did it. So I did that because I wanted the group to still keep having the momentum because it was open for 7 days. So I wanted them to still keep having the momentum. So I offered that, I ran that, people came, people liked it. Most people watching replays at this stage because it was towards the end of the week and everyone's busy and starting to wind down, so that's fine. But I could see on YouTube all the views were going up. So that was good to see that people were actually watching replays. And then in the group, people who had watched the replay were asking questions and I was responding. And so I felt like I was in my element because I've been really helpful. And then on the last day, I was like, we're going to have, or the night before, so I think it was Saturday or Sunday night, I said, Monday's our last day. I'm going to do a bonus Q&A. So I ran a bonus Q&A. Yeah, and then it was doors closed at midnight Monday night. So this is my first time doing doors open, doors closed, as I mentioned before. And I thought I would just break down the numbers for you so that you could see what it looked like. So I'm just going to bring them up now for you. 1 second. Where am I? There we go. Okay. Oop. Okay. So this was the thing. As I said, it was very last minute, this idea of doing a launching in this way. Normally what people would do, and I'm not a Facebook ads person by any stretch of the imagination, but normally people would be running Facebook ads for like 6 weeks or something, building up their email list before they did their launch. I didn't do that. As I said, I gave myself very limited time. I didn't do that. I didn't have time to grow lists and do everything. I really didn't. I didn't do any paid advertising whatsoever. This was all organic. The way that I got people to register was I made a checkout page in Thrivecart for a wait list. And I messed that up because I forgot to, because I was rushing, right? So I made mistakes. I messed it up totally because I didn't make a zap and connect it to my Flowdesk and have this whole automated email nurture sequence go out. Totally forgot to do that. By the time I remembered, it was too late. So messed that up. And then what did I do? I started letting people know that there was a workshop and a waitlist about 2 weeks before I was going to do it. And at this stage, it was still just the 1 hour webinar. The other thing that I did was I changed the banners in my Facebook groups, which was super scary because even I panic. I think, oh my gosh, you know, I don't want everybody to think I'm only here to pitch and sell. And what if they don't like me anymore because they see that I'm offering something? So I get it. Like we all go through this, but I just did it. I said, nope, you're just going to suck it up and you're just going to do it. So I did it. Did anyone cry or have a conniption? No, I was very fortunate. I don't think anybody really cared that I changed my banner. So that was good because next time I have a launch, I feel better about it now that I've crossed that hurdle. And so, yeah, I send an email to everyone on the list. I think it was just one, maybe two emails to everyone on my list, which since I cleaned it up, there's now 4,700 people on that list. But I probably should have, again, another mistake. I probably should have sent it to segments. I just sent it to all subscribers. Big mistake, because, you know, I sell digital products and teach people how to do that. They're not all therapists. So I got unsubscribes from people that probably shouldn't have unsubscribed, but they did because what I sent them wasn't relevant. So yeah, there's another lesson. And from there, I think we had 246 people register. And I was like blown away by that. I thought, whoa, that's so many people. And then I told everybody that, yeah, you're going to get access to information inside the portal. And I gave them login details for that. And I put some extra goodies in there because I wanted to drive people over to the portal, because when they're at the portal, it's just easier for them to access everything because it's all nicely organized. Plus, when they're in the portal, they can see all the other things that I offer. And if they're new to my world, that's important because I want them to see all the different ways that I can help. So they can see free things and they can see low ticket things and mid and high ticket, but they can see everything pretty much that I've got to sell and ways that I can help. So that was why I did that. I also had an invitation to them in there, in that little portal. There was a button that said, go to the Facebook group. You'll all be let in on, you know, the day of. And so I had to then go create a Facebook group, did all of that, set it up, and I let everybody in the day before, actually, because I so let them all in on Sunday last week so that they could mingle, so that they could all start to get to know each other and connect with each other and all those kinds of things, build a vibe, you know, and that worked really well. So I'll definitely do that again next time. And I wasn't too busy in there that day. I was kind of just letting them all connect with each other without me sticking my nose in, but I was definitely sticking my nose in every other day because I was like pouncing on comments and making sure that the person who'd asked a question got an answer and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, so the numbers were 246 people in total registered. Of those people, how many check the portal? I don't know. How many joined the Facebook group? Not sure. The numbers that were in the Facebook group when, like for most of it, was we're sitting at 191. A lot of those people hadn't registered. They were either invited by friends, and I could see that because in the Facebook group it says how they joined it. It would say invited by Jane Doe or John Doe. So I was like, okay. So that was good in a way because I was getting word of mouth, but the same way it was a problem because I wasn't getting email addresses, which meant then that they weren't getting all the replays and copies of the resources. And it was just really hard. Once people are in your group, it's really hard to get an email address. Yeah, big problem. So I've got to do something about that for the next launch. And then the other thing too was every single day I was saying to them, yep, I've sent everyone the replay plus all the resources. And there were always people saying, I didn't get the email. And I was saying, check your junk or spam. And they're like, I still didn't get the email. And it turned out they didn't get them because they hadn't registered and they hadn't given me their email. And when I'd asked for emails, they hadn't provided them. So dealing with that, you know, it's a bit of a headache, but it's just part of what happens with a launch. So 191 in the group, that's what I'm doing this data on, because I'm going to tell you my numbers in a moment, but on the very last day of the group, I think there were 203 people in there. So going with the 191. So let's do a debrief of what happened, because this is, if you work with me and you do a launch, you'll be doing a debrief too. So I just want to show you what it looks like. So first thing that you want to do with your debrief is identify, you know, on average, the number of people who are there most days. So for me, 191. Have a look at your offer. So my offer was the Private Practice 101 program, which is now a certificate in private practice. So it's morphed, and this happened during the launch as well, again, because I was doing everything on the fly. So anyway, but yeah, a couple of days into the launch, I decided to act on an idea that I've been sitting on for about 12 months and turn the program into a course. So it's transitioned now from a membership. It's not a membership anymore. It's now a course. It's a 12-month course. People can stay in it for longer than that, of course. But it's a course. At the end of the course, they now get a certificate in private practice, and they also get a trust logo from the Private Practice Guild of Australia that says that they are now a certified private practice, and they can use that trust logo on their website and on all of their marketing. So this happened, as I said, during the launch, and I'll let everybody know about it. But the offer is the course, and the course is $777 Australian if they paid in full. And I offered payment plans of $97 over 12 months. So yeah, I think it does cost more if you're paying by the month, but you get the flexibility of not having to come up with a big lump sum of money. I also use Thrivecart, which allows eligible buyers to do pay in four. So they could do the pay in full option, but just pay it out in four, and they'd still be eligible for bonuses that were only available to the pay in full people. So that was a really wonderful thing to be able to offer, and people took that up. From the offer, I also had an order bump. My order bump was $23 and it was a set of templates. So a bump is when you have your sales page and people go to buy it, and then it says, would you like to add this extra thing, right? It's like, would you like fries with that? So I put a bump on there. The bump was $23. It was a set of templates. And then I had an upsell. So an upsell is once you've gone through the checkout and you've said yes or no to the bump, and you hit pay, or, you know, what, process payment or whatever it is, you know how the screen changes and a new screen appears, and it might say something like, wait, before you go, you know, did you see this? That's an upsell. So I had an upsell. It was $17 and it was a replay of a masterclass I did last year, along with deliverables like workbooks and tools and resources that went along with that. So they were the three things: the offer, the bump, and the upsell. So here's what it looked like. I tracked my numbers every single day. Day one, didn't get any sales, okay? Day two, didn't get any sales. And the fear sets in, right? I'm like, oh my gosh, this has been so much work. It's not fair. You know, why did I put myself through this? I knew the doors open, doors closed wasn't going to work. What have I done? I've like ruined everything. Now everybody's going to, you know, like how things just kind of, this was what I was going through on day two. On day three, first sale came in. It was painful. $777. And I was like, oh, okay, if there's only one sale, it's been worth it because I've got to help one person. Good. And then day four, no sales. So now I'm having a conniption, right? I'm having panic attacks, not literally, but I'm freaking out. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what have I done? Did I totally balls this up? Like, have I messed it up? What have I done here? What am I doing? And I was questioning everything. I could have done that better. I could have done that better. I wish I didn't say that. I wish I should have said that. Do you know what I mean? All this stuff just totally in my head, freaking out. It's at this point that I go back to my coach and I'm saying to my coach, I hate launching. Why did I do this? I'm exhausted. I was still making content because I was doing a lot of this on the fly. So although no sales are coming in, I've had one sale in 4 days and I'm killing myself to show up. I'm killing myself on 2-hour long Q&A calls. I'm killing myself answering questions. It was just, oh, it was so defeating. And anyway, but I committed to it. So of course I wasn't just going to give up. I knew that this was going to be a 7-day thing. So I was going to see it out. I would never give up on my commitments. I promised. And there were people in there who were being very active and they were doing the work and da da da. So of course I'm not going to stop. Kept going. Day five, I got a painful, and that person also got an order bump and they got an upsell. Right. So I just made on that day, I'm just going to add it up, 23, 17. That's four. So on that day, I made $1,204. So I've got $1,204 now plus 777 from the day before the day before. So that's brought me to $1,981 in 5 days. So now I'm feeling calmer and I'm feeling a bit better about it. Day six happens and there were two painfuls. There were two payment plans. There were four order bumps and there were two upsells. Now I'm like dancing around the room. Like it's like river dance over here. Do, 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 do. Right, that was me. Dancing around thinking, oh my gosh, it's working, it's working, it's working. I was so happy. So by that stage, I can't even add it up now. Hang on. No, I was going to pause it and add it up, but I can't. It's too early in the morning. And then day seven was Sunday. And I just thought, you know, what did I do on? Oh no, day seven was Monday. And I did the Q&A call in the morning. And then I didn't do any other work. I just thought, nope, I'm just going to sit down and I'm going to watch TV. So at the moment, my mum, she loves to watch YouTube and she's really into the royals. She loves watching all the gossip about Harry and Meghan and she loves all the stuff about Will and Kate and everything. And I bought her this, you know, YouTube premium subscription so she doesn't have any ads. And she was in the lounge room, you know, on YouTube and one of her videos had finished. And there was a little menu, you know how all the new suggested recommended videos pop up? One of them was from a company called Trilogy Media and it was talking about scammers and we said, oh yeah, let's click on that and have a look at what that is because I don't know about you, but I get all these robocalls so often and scam calls, scam emails, you know, stuff from Norton, McAfee, Optus emails, you know, since those data breaches and everything. Anyway, it's just crazy. So I was like, yeah, let's watch it. So anyway, got to be addictive. So we sat there for the whole rest of the day, the whole afternoon, just watching videos on scamming. And did this up until midnight Monday night, right? So we just plopped there right in front of the TV. We got pizza. We had Coke Zero and I was in my pajamas and Buddy was there. And yeah, we were just watching TV. And this happens. Eight paying fulls, four payment plans, four order bumps, and nine upsells. So just while I was sitting there in my little leather recliner next to mum in her recliner watching TV, eight paying fulls, four payment plans, four order bumps, nine upsells. She couldn't believe it. My phone just kept, because I get notifications on my phone when payments come in. And my phone was just going bing, 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 bing. And she was like, how can you be just making money while we're sitting here watching YouTube? So, you know, it was fun because, it was fun because I wanted to show her, hey, this is what I do and this is how I run my business. It's very different to how she used to be a psychologist too. It's very different to how we used to run our businesses as psychologists, let's just say. And so it was just a lot of fun and it was really fun celebrating people. So every time someone joined, I'd have to quickly pause YouTube, come running into the study. It was so much fun and quickly make up a little graphic to say, welcome, you know, I'm so excited that you're here. Post that in the group, then quickly run back out to the lounge room and hit play again. And I just kept getting up, as you can see, 12 times getting up. It was so much fun. And I was just on a natural high. I was happy because the sales were coming in. I was happy because people were taking action. And I was happy because I really felt like this had been a turning point in respect to the way that I was sharing my content. So I didn't hold back in terms of, well, I never hold back. I always want to give you everything, of course. But I didn't hold back in terms of saying, you know, stop, you know, there are people here that are saying this all sounds really great, but I'm doing a course at the moment, so I'll wait until I finish that course. Or there were other people that were saying this sounds great, but I'm not going to open till January, so I'll do the course in January. And I just wanted to say no, you don't open a practice and get your logo and your name and your website and then try and do a course and learn. You've got to do it the other way around. The course has to come first. You wouldn't go and be, you know, administering therapy without having gone and done the diploma or the bachelor's, right? You got to get this in the right order, guys, you know. So I started being really vocal about that. And it's something that in the past I had been sort of tiptoeing around. But this time I was like, it was so important to me because I'm 2 years into this now and it just really bothers me so much that people don't get it, and they will still continue to go, like they will still continue to go out and start a practice before they know how to run a business, and then they'll be struggling. They'll be saying, I don't have clients. I've got a website. I've got a logo. They're in love with everything, but they're not calling in clients. They don't understand what they need. And this was the other thing too that I was very vocal about, and that was the Dunning-Kruger effect, because what had happened was, I'd given them really, really good resources. We'd have these really, really open, honest, transparent Q&A sessions that just went on and on and on and on and on until everybody's questions had been answered. And so as a result of that, there were many people in the pop-up group that felt like they had what they needed and they could go off and just be successful. And that freaked me out because I thought, no, you don't. You've only just scratched the surface here. This was just a 3-day workshop. And what you've realized is that there was a lot that you didn't know. Now you've got that, you're feeling really confident and you feel like, yes, I'm on top of the world. And finally, I know what to do. And now I'm going to go off and do it and I'm going to be successful. But the thing is, like when you've got a little bit of competence, you have a lot of confidence, right? You think you know so much. That's the Dunning-Kruger effect. And it's a fallacy. You set yourself up for failure. When you move through Dunning-Kruger, what usually happens, and we see this when we do subsequent degrees, for example, at university, you know, like, and it happened to me too. Like when I went to uni, I was at Monash in Frankston and then Monash Clayton. I remember when I first started learning things at university in my undergrad, I thought that I just knew so much. But as I went into my fourth year and then my master's and then my PhD, it's embarrassing because you realize, oh my gosh, you know, I was running around acting like I knew everything, but I knew very little. You know, there's so much more to learn. So I really allowed myself this time to be vocal about that and call them out on, this is what you're experiencing at the moment. It's called Dunning-Kruger effect. And what I want you to know is that there is so much more that you don't know, and that's why you need this course, right? So I lent into that, if you like. Anyway, so my conversions, because I know there'll be some people that are like, what's the data? There are some people that really love to hear about that. So I'm going to share it with you now. So people in the pop-up group, what did I say? I've written here 193, but it should have been 191, but it doesn't matter. I've done it on 193. The workshop offer conversion. So just the offer itself was PP101. That converted at 8.8%. 8.8%. The average conversion is 2%. So what does this tell me? This tells me I had an offer that was hot, 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 that people really wanted, that was high value, and that people couldn't wait to grab. And, you know, that is just, I've never seen a statistic like that. And I've worked with a lot of coaches and I'm in a lot of groups. I've never in my life seen anybody convert at 8.8%. Okay. My bump conversion. So of all the people that bought, you know, how many of them got the bump, you know, all of that, 53%. Again, insane. 53% of the people got the bump, just unheard of. And the upsell, you won't believe this, the upsell converted at 71%. 71%. So overall, would I say this was a successful launch? Abso-frickin-lutely, I would say this was an amazing launch. What do I know now? I know now that when I launch it again, that I can do it confidently because I know I've got a fantastic product here that people want and love and they're craving and they need and they're buying. So I know I've got confidence in that product. But the other thing is, I only had 193 people in the group. So imagine if I had 1,933 people in the group, right? If I say, so this was obviously a five-figure launch, the total sales for this launch were $15,942, and I've got follow-up sales coming in now because I sent out, when it all finished, I sent out a thank you email to everybody and then said, for those that couldn't afford it, you can join PP101 Lite. You're not going to get the certificate or coaching calls or things like that, but you will get enough things in there to sort of help you along the way. It's more sort of DIY. So if that's something that interests you, you can get that. I've had three sales for that. So that's another, you know what, 77, because that one is still 70, is still $7, but I sell it for $70 painful. I've had three painfuls, plus GST on those. So I'm just adding that up now. That's 21, 3. Okay, so that's another 231. So if we add that onto the 15942, add on the 231, that brings us to a total launch of $16,173 for a 3-day launch. Yeah, so if I had had more people, if I, instead of having 193, if I had 1,930, we could add an extra zero onto my total launch and I would have made 161,000. I know, right? It's mind-blowing, isn't it? So what do I know now? Well, a couple of things. One of the things I know now is I need to get off my butt and start growing my audience. So guess what? Over the next, I guess, 2 or 3 months, I'm really going to focus on doing that. And I want to do it organically. I don't want to do it with paid ads. So I'm just going to see how that goes. So I'll keep all this data somewhere. And when I do the launch next time, we'll see if I can get 10 times the people in, which would be amazing. So that's definitely one of the things that I want to do. The other thing is I'll be better organized next time because I've kept all my stuff in Canva folders and Google folders and Dropbox folders. So it's all there ready to go. I'm just really, 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 really excited. I still have, there are two people that were overseas and it closed at midnight and they sent in requests early in the morning. So closed midnight, so Tuesday morning it will be, day before yesterday, they sent in requests with a few questions. So I answered those questions. So if those two people want to come, that'll be another, you know, 1,554 added onto that 16,000. So, you know, we're looking at nearly a $20,000 launch. Did I do this the first time? Were my numbers like this the first time? No, they weren't. What do I think now about doors open, doors closed? Absolutely doors open, doors closed. I have a full version of PP101 and Marketing with Soul. They're going to be doors open, doors closed, but the light versions will just be always open. So light versions will still be helpful and they'll still give people, you know, quick wins and stuff like that, but they're nowhere near as involved and resourced and as supportive and hands-on and, you know, all that sort of stuff as the full versions. So, yeah, I just wanted to share this with you. So what happens now is we're kind of like in the winding down phase. So the email went out, changed all the banners in my free groups. I'm pretty sure I did all of them. Changed the sales page to waitlist page. And that's been fun because a couple of people, like I woke up this morning, a couple of people had said that they tried to buy Private Practice 101 overnight, obviously I was asleep, and it was redirecting them to a waitlist page, and could I just send them the link? So I've had to tell all those people, no, you missed it, but I'll let you know when it's going to be open again. So being really strict and firm about, the open and the close has been important. I really do like this model. It's also taught me that I can manage the business better when I launch better in terms of the finances. So this now like I feel like I'm in the groove. Like I've really got here a fantastic offer. I mean, let's call it 9% conversion. And then we've got 53% on the bump and 71% on the upsell. The other thing that I want to do is have more upsells, and see if I can get those to convert as well. So I want to really revisit, my thinking behind the bump and the upsells that I offered and see what else I could do. So that's something that I want to take away from this. What else could I give people that would be really helpful for them in their journey? But yeah, I want to do launches now each quarter, because I think that they're just a great way to help people. And I think once they're set up and you've got all your assets in place, it's going to be a lot easier than how I did it. As I said, I was doing it in a rush and I managed to get these results. Next time I do it, I'll be a lot calmer. I'll have more people. I'll have all my, things in place that I really, really need. And it's just going to feel so much easier and so much better. And I'll just be able to be even more present, So that's all feeling really, 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 really good. So my next launch is going to be, so I've already decided what I'm going to do is open the doors twice a year for PP101 and Marketing with Soul. So the next launch is going to be opening the doors to Marketing with Soul. So I've got to go today and turn or redirect. I've got to go and create, a waitlist now page for Marketing with Soul. So I'll do that today. I'll redirect the sales page for Marketing with Soul over to the waitlist. I've got to create, email sequences, connect them for all the people on the waitlist to keep them engaged and warm over the next 8 to 12 weeks until that launch happens. I've got to go and create my assets. So I know now exactly what I need to do. It's just going to be a matter of each time I do it, looking at what could I have done differently? How could I make it better next time? How could I make it more useful next time? Getting the feedback from people, And the feedback, I thought, maybe this has just been overwhelming. But people were like, no, it was not overwhelming. This was exactly what we've been needing and wanting. So that was really helpful to hear as well, because I was thinking maybe I gave too much and maybe next time I should pare it back a little bit. But they were all saying, no. So that was good to know that and understand that. So, yeah. Just my reflections and their true and honest results from, it was going to be a lazy launch, but it turned out to be a lot, the opposite of lazy. This took a lot of work. It's not going to take this much next time. And I'm sharing it with you because you need to know what launching is. You need to know what it looks like and you need to know what you can expect. Oh, this is the other thing. Remember I said to you, day one didn't have any sales. Day two, there were no sales and I was nervous, wondering if I'm on the right track. Day three, I got my first sale, which was a painful. Day four, there weren't any sales and I was having my little mini panic attacks over here. Well, it was interesting because when all of that was happening, I was looking at somebody else who had just finished his launch and he was, sharing with us about, how his numbers went and all this kind of stuff. And it was really interesting because he had, it was 3,700 and something people in his pop-up group. So straight away, I compared myself and I thought, mine must be pretty, crappy then if I only had, 193 people and he got 3,700 and whatever. His must be so much better than mine. But anyway, so he had thousands of people, almost 4,000 people, and he was celebrating making 114 sales. And I thought to myself, that's not so bad then. What I'm doing, it's not so bad then, because if I looked at his conversions, after I finished my launch, because I obviously only had one sale at this stage, but if I looked at his conversions, it actually did make me feel so bad. And that's why I want you to understand, like, you don't need to have thousands of people to have a successful launch, to sell your product, to help people. You don't need to have thousands and thousands and thousands in your launch. You just don't. So don't ever feel like you're not good enough because you only got 20 people in your group, or you're not good enough because you only got 5 people, you know, sign up for your group, or, you know, whatever it is. Don't ever, ever, ever doubt yourself and doubt your ability, because it's really about percentages. It's not about numbers. Okay. And you can do it. You can absolutely do it. So what would you launch for? Well, if you're in private practice, you should be launching your online courses. You should be launching your memberships. You should be launching retreats. You should be launching, workshops, if those workshops are leading into a bigger product, all those kinds of things. You wouldn't be launching for packages of counseling sessions. You wouldn't be launching for one-off sessions or anything like that. You could definitely have a launch for your private practice, though, when you're first opening. And if you want to understand how to do that, you can come into Private Practice 101. I will put a training up in there that will show you how to launch when you open your private practice so that you get clients. So, yeah, that will be another instance. But, yeah, so hopefully you can take away from this that anybody can do it. You don't need a lot of people. You get to help so many people. And the other thing too that I wanted to share is, this was really interesting. There was very high engagement, very high. This group was on fire. They were all helping each other, supporting each other, commenting on each other's posts, cheering each other on. The engagement was next level in this group. But interestingly, when I was processing, like, the adding people into Thrivecart and doing all of that sort of stuff, taking people off one email segment and putting them into the other email segment and everything, I didn't know a lot of the names. And it just turned out that a lot of people who bought had never commented, had never turned up to a live coaching call, had never engaged in the group, but they had all watched the replays, they had all been downloading the resources, they had all been observing. So you have a silent audience. So if you've got, you know, say 20 people or 50 people in your group, but only 3 or 4 of them are being active, it's unlikely that the ones who are being active are the ones who are going to buy from you. What's more likely is the silent audience are going to be the ones that buy from you. So you're going to have moments where you feel like, oh, you know, I've got 50 people, but there's only 3 in the group and only 2 of them are talking and da 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 da. Keep going, because chances are that those 2 or 3 who are showing up are unlikely. I mean, they might, but it's more likely going to have a higher percentage of people buying who don't participate and don't engage. And they don't, for whatever reason. Either they're in their 9-to-5 jobs, or they've got other commitments, or they can't turn up to your live calls, so they're having to just listen to a replay. And I do that too. Like, I sign up for workshops and everything. I can't go to the live calls, or I choose not to, because they're at 2 a.m. or something. I'm not going to get up at 2 a.m. But the next day I will sit in the bath and I will, you know, get out my iPad mini and I'll set it all up nicely and I'll watch the replay from beginning to end. And you know what? I do buy people's products, and I've never been into their Facebook groups or showed up live on one of their calls. So I too am, you know, in the past have been one of those silent audience people. So don't get hung up on a lack of engagement. Keep going, keep delivering, because people are on the sidelines and they're watching. Okay, they are watching. So I hope that this was hopefully inspirational. I really want you to feel like, I can do it too. I really want you to be clear on, you know, some of the things that are involved, some of the things to look out for, some of the things to be mindful of. I want you to be okay with your mindset around launching. It doesn't have to be hard, by the way. I made it hard for myself because I left everything to the last minute, okay? You don't have to do that. Now, if you're in marketing with soul, I will put my whole launch process into a, I don't know, something, Canva doc, spreadsheet, I don't know. I'll put my whole launch process together and I will do a little walkthrough training so that you've got it, so that if you decide you want to do launches too, you know exactly what to do and how to do it. I will also do a separate training for you in there on launching your private practice. So this is going to be perfect for you if you are about to open or you want to open. But you could also use it if your practice has kind of flopped or if it's kind of not going anywhere and you're needing a bit of a cash injection or you're needing a booking or a client injection. You can do like a relaunch or a reopening or something like that, or rebranding or facelift. We'll call it something good for you, don't worry. But you can certainly do that, and that will get you some, you know, what do I want to say? It'll give you a boost. It'll give you a boost to the books and to the diary and also to the bottom line as well as to your confidence. So just give me some time. As I said, I'm just recovering energetically from the big week that was last week. So I'll put it together in the next week or so for you. I will let you know in the group, in the Marketing with Soul group, when it's up and available, and you can go and watch it. We can go over it on our coaching call as well. We can talk about it in more detail then. Our next coaching call is next week on Monday. So yeah, I hope that this was really, really helpful. Thank you so much for listening. If you have any questions or comments, don't hesitate to shoot them over. And thank you so, 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 so much for being here. I'll see you in the next episode. Bye. I hope that you loved this episode as much as I loved putting it together for you. To get more resources to help you in your private practice, head over to Instagram. My handle is @theprivatepracticecoach. And also, if you want more inquiries and referrals for your business, let me know. I have a program called Clients on Demand that opens every quarter, and I can absolutely get you some information for that as well. You are doing an amazing job. Thank you for sharing your gifts with the world. Bye.